Okay, good morning and a good night, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Yud Beis. We are holding on the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are at Azuva Zu Miriam on the very top line. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Andrew Arking in commemoration of the 7th yard site of his grandfather, Albert Arking Avram Ben Moshe Arking HaKohen. Allah HaShalom. I think the yard site may have been yesterday and we missed it, but the neshama should have an aliyah. And we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today are some of the most famous Agaritas in all of Shas. These are like Rashi's on Chumash kind of famous Agaritas. We're going to talk about first a little bit about Kalev and Miriam and what their relationship was. Then we're going to talk a little bit more about Miriam and what made her great, what she did at the beginning of her life, getting her parents back together after her parents had separated from each other. We're going to talk about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and the initial hiding of Moshe Rabbeinu from the Egyptian authority. And then the Anamid Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss Bas Paro finding Moshe Rabbeinu and how she managed to nourish him, how she found him, how she reached him, how she managed to nourish him and support him after she had found Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's pretty much the entire Amud Beis. So let's begin on the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of discussing Kalev and his relationship with Miriam. So it says that for Kalev ben Chetzron holid es Azuva, that Kalev had a child named Azuva. So says the Gemara, Zo Miriam. That's actually Miriam. V'lama nikra shma Azuva. Why is Miriam called Azuva? Azuva means abandoned. Sha'kol azvua mitchilasa. Because initially everyone abandoned her. No one wanted to marry her because she was a very sickly person. And only Kalev agreed to marry her. No one else was willing to marry her. Now the Gemara in Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Gimel tells us that Kalev actually married Bisya Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro. So the Tchelus Mordechai over there, Megillah says that you have to say either that Kalev had two wives, and they were Miriam and the Bas Paro, or he, after Miriam died, he married the Bas Paro. Because it says, Yavo Kalev Shemarad Ba'atzis Mraglim V'yisa as Bas Paro Shemarda Begilule Be'savia. So apparently he married her after the mice of the Mraglim, because it says that the Kalev, who managed to withstand the pressure of the Meraglim, it was so appropriate, everyone realized how what a great shidduch it was that he married the person that managed to withstand the pressures of her father's house, the Bas Paro. So that was much, much later in history. That was after the Mice of the Meraglim. So maybe he had married Miriam first. So Frek the Gemara, wait a second. The Pasuk that we're dashing says, V'kalev ben Chetzron holid es Azuva. And now you're telling me that he married Miriam? That's what the Pasuk says. Holid. It says that he fathered her. But he married her. He didn't. He wasn't her father. Anyone who marries a woman purely l'shem shemayim, like Kalev did, how do I know it was l'shem shemayim? Because no one else wanted to marry her because she was very sick. So, but he looked, as Rashi says, at who her brothers were, and he knew that the derech is that the children take after the brothers of the mother, and to Gemara Maseches Baba Basra on Daf Kuf Yud. So he saw that her two brothers were Moshe and Aaron. Can't do much better than that. So he decided that he was going to marry her, L'shem Shemayim. So Malalav Kasim Ki Ilu Yilada. So it's as if whenever someone marries someone, L'shem Shemayim, it's as if he has birthed her. So Yurios, and then the Pasuk says, Ve'es Yurios. So Yurios is also a reference to Miriam. Shayu Panel Domin Yurios, that her face was so pale, it was like white curtains, that that she was such a pale complexion, because she was such a sickly person. Ve'ele Baneha, and the Pasuk goes on to say, and these were her children. And it says Yeshar Vishova Vardon were her children. So Altukri Baneha, let's not read it as Baneha. The Riaf writes, because the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells us that she only had one son and his name was Chur. And also when it lists Baneha, it doesn't mention Chur as one of the three Baneha in this Pasuk. It says Yeshar Shova Vardon. So if we know she had Chur and Chur is not in this Pasuk, and in Divrei Hayamim it only mentions one son and that's Chur, so it must be that these Banim aren't banim mamish ela boneha. These are three ways of referring to her husband, who's considered to be the one who builds her up. So yeshar sheishar satzmo, yeshar because he managed to straighten himself out and not to make the mistake of the atzas meraglim. Shovav sheshi beves yitzro, that he rebelled against his yetzer hara by not giving in to the atzas meraglim. Va'ardon, and he's called Ardon, she rada as yitzro, that he put down his yetzer hara, that he ruled over his yetzer hara. V'yikadarmi al sheyu paneh adom leveret, and some say that that he's called Ardon because the Miriam's face was had a rosy complexion, even though we just said that she was as pale as a ghost. Yeah, but then she married Kalev and he took care of her and he nursed her back to health, and then her face had had a rosy complexion. But according to the first Daya, all three names of Kalev relate to the fact that he didn't give in to the Atzas Meraglim. Sometimes a person does one thing in their life that's so important, that's so big, that that sort of defines them for the rest of their lives, even though he was a tzaddik his entire life. But that all of his tzidkus prepared him for that moment. So the pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, Ula Ashkor Avit Tekoa Hayushte Nashim Chala V'Na'ara. So the Gemara says Ashkor Zekalev. The Ashkor is Kalev. V'lam Nikrashma Ashkor. Why is he called Ashkor? Shehushkru Panav Betainios. That he was mekabel so many fasts on himself not to be nichshal in the Atzas Meraglim. And again, everything about him relates to the fact that he wasn't nichshal ba'atzas meraglim. He was mekabel so many tainios that his face became a grayish complexion. Avi shenasala ka'av. Avi, because he became like a father to Miriam in that he took care of her, he nursed her back to health, he provided her with food, he provided her with refuah, even though l'chora, those are all things a husband is obligated to do as well. Okay, so the achronim deal with that. So why is that like an av? That's like a husband has to do also when his wife is sick. Tekoa is shetaka es libo la'av shebashamayim, that he committed his heart to be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't follow the meraglim. So hayushtei nashim, he had two wives. It doesn't mean two wives, but nasa Miriam kishtei nashim, that the Miriam that he married and the Miriam that she became were like two different people. Chala v'nara, lo chala v'nara avi, ella bitchila chala lubesof nara, that when he initially married her, she was so sickly, and then in the end she became beautiful again. She became youthful again, so you see that she became like a different person. And then the pasuk says uvnei chala tzaras v'tzohar ve'esnan. So the Gemara darshens the pasuk; those are not actually Miriam's children, but rather when she became healthy, her physical appearance became so wonderful that it's compared to these three things: tzaras shenasis tzara l'chavroseha, that everyone was jealous of her beauty, so she was like a tzara, like a co-wife, where it's a natural relationship of jealousy. She was so beautiful, all the other women were jealous of her beauty. Tzohar sheyipaneh domin katzarayim, her face illuminated like the midday sun. And esnan shekalaro asa malach esnan leishto, that anyone who saw her was interested in having tashmish, that they would buy gifts for their wives in order to convince their wives to have tashmish with them. That they were so aroused by seeing her because she was so beautiful. So the Gemara explains, the Gemara goes back now to explaining the psukim about the gzeros that Paro made. Vayitzav Paro l'cholamo. So Paro commanded his entire nation, and he said that any child, that any son that's born, you have to throw him into the Ya'ar, and any bas should be able to live. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina points out that when Paro goes there, kala bein ha'yelod, and it doesn't say kala yelod le'ivrim, so af alamo gozar. That tells you that he was gozer even on his own people, that they have to throw their babies into the river. In Medrash Tanchuma, Rashi quotes, it says that the astrologers told Paro that on this day the Goel Yisrael was born, and we don't know if it's going to be a Ben Mitzvah or a Ben Yisraelis. That they couldn't see clearly in the stars, because Kala Magadol Yasam Toch Besos Kilu Yilado, and he was Moshe Rabbeinu was raised by a Mitzri woman. So in the stars, you have the Kilu, he had two mothers. He had a Jewish Jewish mother and a Mitzri mother, so they couldn't see clearly whether it was a Mitzris, the child of a Mitzris or the child of Yisraelis. So the Paro gathered together all the Mitzrim, and he said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to sacrifice your children for one day, because this is the day that Moshiach Shal Yisrael is going to be born. So we're going to get rid of all of the boys today. So he made the gezerah even on his own people. And once that day came and went, and they saw that nothing had happened yet, they saw in the stars that the Moshiach Shal Yisrael was still around. So he continued the gezerah until Moshe was finally thrown into the Or, which we're going to see soon, was 3 months later. The Ein Elio writes that the raya to this drasha from the pasuk is from the fact that it begins with the lashon of Vayitzav, which sounds like against their will, and then it says Lemar, which sounds like an Amira Raka, like a soft way of talking. So because he told them something that they ultimately were willing to agree with. In the Shev Shmaitza, he explains, based on what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rosh in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the din of Dina de Malchusa Dina is only if it's a din Shava, if it's a non-discriminatory law. If there's a law that says, oh, for Jews the law is this, and for non-Jews the law is that, then there's no din of Dina de Malchusa Dina. Dina de Malchusa Dina is only when it's a non-discriminatory law. So based on that, the Shev Shmaitza writes, the Mialdo said to Paro, ki lo kanashma mitrios he'ivrios, that you aren't gozer on the Nashim Mitzrios like you are in the Ivrios, and therefore we don't have to follow your instructions. We're not obligated to follow you. So therefore he was gozer afalamo. He was gozer even on... So now the Mialdos are going to have to follow his instructions. It's a certain style of learning, to plug all of halacha back into the discussions in the storyline of Chumash, in the Bereshis early part of Shemos part of Chumash. Okay, so anyway, Vam Rav Yosef b'chinin sholosh gezeros gazar. There were three stages to Paro's gezeros. B'tchila in Benu Vamiteno. So initially it was in Benu Vamiteno. So any child born to the Jewish people, and he trusted the Mialdos to kill them on the birthing stool. Ulubsov kalabena ilodeyar tashlichu. Then he told his people, okay, it's not working. They're not following my instructions. So anyone who sees a Jewish baby, throw him into the river. Ulubasov, afalamo gazar. And then the third stage was he had to make the gzeri even on his own people. Vayelech ishmi beis levi. And then the pasuk continues and describes in the beginning of Shemos that a man went from beis levi veikach es bas levi. So leheichon haloch, where did this man go? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zevina. So Rav Yehuda bar Zevina explains that it doesn't mean he went to a particular location, but rather shahalach batas bito. It means he followed the advice of his daughter. So what exactly happened? Tana, Amram Gadol Ador Haya. Amram was the Gadol Ador, because he was called an Ish, which is Lashon of Chashivus, so we see that he was a Gadol Ador. Gadol Ador, when Chazal use it, does not mean the biggest Talmud Chacham of the generation. It doesn't mean the Zakein Rashi HaYeshivos or whatever, however we use it now. It means the leader of the community. It means the person who was the political leader of the community. So he was the Gadol Ador. Everyone would listen to whatever he did, whatever he said. Kivan Shagazar Paro HaRasha Kalabena Yilod Once Paro made the gezerah that any baby boy had to be thrown into the Or, Omar, so Amram said, "L'shavanu amelim. What are we doing? We're having children for no reason. They're just going to be killed." So Amar v'girish esishto. So he divorced his wife. When everyone saw that's what the Gadol Ador did, Amdu kulan v'gershus n'shoseyan. So everyone else followed suit, and they all divorced their wives. So Amar lo bito Miriam, his daughter, said to him, "Abba, kashuk zeroscha yosim." Paro. The gezerah you just made is more harsh than the gezerah of Paro in several ways. Shaparo lo gazar el al zcharim, v'ata gazar tal zcharim v'al anakevos. Paro was only gozer on the zcharim, but you, having everyone divorce their wives, are seeing to it that not only will no baby boys be born, no baby girls will be born either. The Mincha Sota explains that Amram must have held like the shita of Beis Shammai, that in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, you need two sons and two daughters. And at this point, he only had one son and one daughter. So even if he's going to have another daughter, it's not going to be able to be mekayim Piri V'Rivya, because whatever boy is going to be born is going to be killed. So his daughter said to him, nah, the halacha is like the Beis Hillel. They already mekayim the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. Zacharu nekeva. And right now, your only obligation is l'sheves yitzara and l'erev al tanach yadecha. Meaning, even after a person fulfills the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, there's still a mitzvah to have additional children, because l'sheves yitzara, the world world is meant to be populated. And la'erav al tarech yedecha, the Gemara Nivamis darshins, that b'boker zorecha, la'erav al tarech yedecha means that a person has children when they're young, but even when they get older in life, they should continue to try to have children. So that you could fulfill both of those chiyuvim with more girls. You don't need boys to fulfill those chiyuvim. But enochinami, or says Minchas Sota, maybe she was maskim to shitas Beis Shammai, but since they were all megarish their wives, so he said even those that already had two boys are not going to have any girls now. So you're going to cost them the mitzvah. Meaning, if you're thinking selfishly for yourself, you'll never be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. But everybody else will still be able to. Meaning, those who already have two sons might still be able to be mekayim the mitzvah by having two more daughters. Okay, again, that's the style of some svarim to learn that way. So to plug all the halachas back in. So paralo gazer elabal mazah. Second difference between the way your gezerah and the gezerah of Paro. By the way, the Eitz Yosef writes that the reason she says your gezerah is kasha mishal Paro, even though if you give birth to nekevos, there's not going to be any boy to marry them, but someone else can marry one. If one boy survives, he can marry many women. And also, even if you marry mitzrim, the children are going to be Jewish because we follow the mother as far as the Judaism of the children. In Divrei Shaul, he has a sharp vard. He writes that the gezerah of Shibim Mitzrayim was for 400 years. It's just that because we multiplied so quickly, it was the Riboy Ha'am that was Mema'it the Zman. Because there were supposed to be so many years of manpower working. So we had so many people, and therefore the Zman was shorter. But since Paro was gozer to kill the males, there wasn't going to be a Riboy Ha'am anymore in working. But we still could shorten the time through the Koshi Hashibud. And part of the Koshi Hashibud is suffering the loss of those children, having them thrown into the Yor. So, but once they're Megarish their wives, so not only will there not be a Riboy Ha'am, there's also not going to be that extra Koshi Yashibud, because they're not going to suffer that that terrible pain of Kala Ben Ayilot Hayora Tashlichuhu. So therefore, your gezerah is Kasha Mishal Paro, because Paro is making a gezerah, but you're prolonging the gezerah's Paro. You're prolonging the galus. And second difference was Paro lo gazar ella ba'olamazeh. Paro's gezerah was only in this world that the children are going to be killed. Va'ata ba'olamazeh uli olamaba. But you are costing them their olamaba, because any child that doesn't come down into this world to begin with is never going to be able to make it to Olam Haba. Paro Arasha Savik Miskayamis Gzeirasa Savik Eina Miskayamis. And a third difference is Paro makes a gzeira, maybe it will be fulfilled, maybe it won't be fulfilled. But that's a tzaddik, bevadai shegzeirasa miskayamis. You're a tzaddik, of course your gzeira is going to be fulfilled. Shenemar vatig zormar vayakam lach. That's the nature of a tzaddik, that when he makes a gzeira, it's going to be fulfilled. So the Marsha points out that these three tainas that she had relates to the three different stages of the gzeira of Paro that we alluded to before. The gzeira of im ben hu vamiten oso, that the miyaldos were supposed to implement, was that Paro was lo gozer al hazacharim and you were gozer afal anekevos. And connected the second gzeir of kala ben ayilot hayora tashlichuhu to throw the babies into the river, which was not supposed to be implemented by the miyaldos, was supposed to be implemented by all of Mitzrayim. So she said that at least the baby will be born, will go to Olam Haba, but you're costing that they're not even going to go to Olam Haba. And connected the gzeira that even that was even made against the Mitzrayim, so she tightened this suffix whether Paro's gzeira is going to be miskayemes, because why would the Mitzrim listen to that? They're going to lose from doing that. So there's a good chance that they're not going to even follow that gezerah. So as the Marshal says, it aligns perfectly with the three gezeros. So once Amram heard this, he was mekabel what his daughter said. Amad v'chzeres ishto. He remarried his wife. Amdu kulan v'chzeres nashsein. And everyone else followed his lead, and they too remarried their own wives. Vayikach. Pasuk says, Vayikach is pas Levi. So the Gemara asks, why does it say Vayikach? Sounds like a brand new marriage, but this wasn't Vayikach, Vayachzor Mibayle. It should have said Vayachzor, that he was Machzir Grusha, so that he remarried her. So I'm Rabbi Dibar Zvina. It says Vayikach to teach us Sha'asalo Maisali Kuchin. He made a wedding like it was a first wedding, meaning of a man divorces his wife and then remarries her. They usually don't have a huge celebration, you know, with hundreds of guests and a band and whatever. But he made a wedding like it was an original Hoshiva Beit Pari. He only put her in this nice chuppah with all sorts of curtains and over it. The Aaron and Miriam erect in the fanah. They had dancing with Aaron and Miriam dancing in front of her. Malachi Asharis Amru, and the Malachi Asharis were saying at that time, Eima Banim Semecha. And then Pasuk says, who did he take? As Bas Levi. So Efsha Bas Meir Shalshim Shana Havya Vakari Labas. Could it be she was 130 years old and she's called a Bas? So Pashto says that means at a certain age you stop calling a person a Bas. I don't know though, if she's a Bas Levi, if she's a daughter of Levi, at what, you know, just yesterday, Rebbetzin Bruria David passed away. So the first line of every obituary said the daughter of Rav Huttner. She was 84 years old, but she's still the daughter of Rav Huttner because if she's the daughter, she wrote Pachad Yitzchak, so she's the daughter of Rav Huttner. So of course you're going to say that's not a secret. Everyone knows she wrote Pachad Yitzchak. It was Rav Huttner's teachings, but she wrote it up. So you call her Bas forever. Says the Rashash, it's not about the youth. That's not what we're saying. What the Rashash is saying is, why don't we call her by her name? She had a name. So the fact that we're not calling her by her name tells you that we're trying to say something over here. Meaning, if she was old enough, we're saying that she was so old, meaning, when would you call someone the daughter of so-and-so if you don't know her name? So, oh yeah, she's known by who her father is. But once she's already old and accomplished, so then she has her own name. So why aren't they calling her by her own name? That's what, sometimes the yeshiva style is like on a wedding invitation. They'll write the husband's name, Virayasa. Like it's not tenua to write the woman's name. I think in Rebbetzin Meiselman's book about the Soloveitchik family, they printed Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's wedding invitation. And it said the names of the parents were Chaim and whatever Reb Chaim's wife's name, I don't remember what the wife's name was, but her name was there right in the invitation. It says the Rosh Hashanah, nothing wrong with saying her name. She was a well known person already, so you should say her name. So Efshar Bas Meir Shloshim Shana Havya Vekari Labas. She was such an accomplished person, and you're still calling her a Bas. Dam Rabbi Chaim Rechanina. So Rabbi Chaim Rechanina said that the Lechorah it's difficult because when it goes through the Bnei Yaakov who went down to Mitzrayim and you count Yosef and his two sons, you only get to 69 people. And yet when the Pasuk summarizes, it says that there were Shivim Nefesh. So how does he explain it? Zo Yocheved Shorosa Baderech. This is Yocheved who was conceived on the way down to Mitzrayim. V'leidasa Bein HaChomos, and she was born in between the walls as they were getting into Mitzrayim. Shenamar, because Pasuk says, Asher Yoldo Sala Levi B'Mitzrayim. That she was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. That her birth was in Mitzrayim once they had arrived in the walls of Mitzrayim, but her conception was not in Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. So if you do the math, if the whole Shibud was 210 years and Moshe was 80 when we left Mitzrayim, so 210 minus 80 is 130. That means Yocheved was 130 years old when this episode happened. So Rabbi Yehuda Shenol D'Basimani Naros. Why is she could be called the Bas? This is alluding to the fact that she looked very youthful again, that she her complexion turned to a young lady's complexion. She started getting her period again, and her wrinkles all straightened out. So all of that. So the Iyun Yaakov raises the question we're about to see in the Gemara in a few lines, that she was already pregnant with Moshe at this time. So this nes was really unnecessary. Why does she have to look young again? She was already pregnant for 3 months, meaning before Amram divorced her, she had already been pregnant with Moshe. So the Iyun Yaakov says, in the name of Maharash Shapira, that since he was maxir her, in order that everybody else should be maxir their wives, if she didn't appear like someone who was a bas banim, everyone else would say, yeah, of course he took back his wife. She's not going to get pregnant anyway, but why should we suffer the pain of having a child and then having that child taken from us? But once they saw that she had turned youthful, so then it set the proper example for everybody else. She got pregnant and she gave birth. What do you mean she got pregnant? She's been pregnant for 3 months already. So Rabbi Dibra Zvina explains, we're trying to say that the birth and the conception were similar to each other in the following way. Just like when she conceived, it was without pain, because that's the way conceiving normally works. So too, when she birthed, it was without any tsar leida.
Mikal Nashim Sitkanya Shalohoyu Bipitka Shalchava. And from there you see that the Nashim Sitkanios are not included in the Gzeira of Chava. Vatero so Kitovu, and then she saw the baby and she saw that he was Tov. Tanya Ramey Romer Tov Shemo, his name was Tov. Rabbi Yudomer Tovia Shemo, his name was Tovia. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Hagum Lenevius. No, what it means she saw that she's Tov, she saw that he was going to be a Navi, that he was going to be someone who's prepared for Nevuah. Acherim Omer, others say Nolak Shumahu. No, it means that she saw that he was born already with a bris mila. In the Sefer Olamot, she says, what does it mean? His name was Tov, his name was Tovia. That's up to her, what his name is. That's not Vatera Osa, that she saw that he's Tov. So he says it must be that the Chacham who say that Nispalei Abayis Kulo Oro is Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemya. That the next sheet of Chacham Ram, Shoshan Olamot, Nispalei Abayis Kulo Or, Ksivach Vatera Osa Kitovu, Ksivach Samiyar Limes Or Kitov, that must be that because she saw the bias was full of R, that's why she called him Tov or Tovia, something like that. Because she saw the Tov that he had brought into this world. That's why he's called Tov. So those are the Chachamim. That's why those Chachamim don't have a name, because we already said their names. It's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who said Tov and Tovia. So Vatispaneh Shlosh Yirachim Shirim for 3 months. Tzalomana Mitzrayim El Mishoda Hadr, because the Mitzrayim were only counting from the 9 months from when Amram remarried Yocheved. But they didn't realize she had already been 3 months pregnant by that time. But 3 months came, she couldn't hide him anymore. Amai, why couldn't she hide him anymore? Let her keep on trying to hide him. So because any time the Mitzvah would hear that a baby was born and they were hiding the baby, Mamta Yunuka, and they would take one of their own children, one of their own babies there, in who they would force their own baby to cry, so that the Jewish baby would hear the Mitzri baby crying, Umavi, and then Jewish baby would cry, because it's natural when he hears another baby to cry along with the other baby. So they, the contrast is remarkable, right? Pua is a poet of Latin and makes sure that none of the Jewish babies are crying. That's what the Jewish mothers are busy doing and the Jewish midwives are busy doing to try to make sure that their babies don't cry, that the baby shouldn't have to cry. And what are the Mitzvim busy doing? Making their own babies cry just so that they can make our babies cry. And it's worth it for them to make their babies cry so that our babies will cry as well. Some things don't change. That's what the Pasuk says. That the Baskel said at the Yamsuf to the Meya Yamsuf that they should drown these Shualim Ketanim who are Mechabel Bekramim, meaning those who caused the Jewish babies to cry, even though they themselves were innocent children who were forced to cry, but it was through them that these Jewish babies had to suffer. Vatikach lo Tevas Gome, and she made for him, she took a Tevas Gome, a box to put Moshe in. So Maishna Gome, why Gome? Amar Blazim Mikal Tzadikim Shemon Chavale. And Yosef Migufan. It's the cheapest material, and Tzadikim value their money more than their guf. So the Ben Yoyada points out that it's meduyuk. It does not say Yosef Min Nafsham, because Ein Davar Amin B'fnei Pikuach Nefesh. If it was dangerous to put him in such a box, she never would have done so. If it was more dangerous than another kind of box, she never would have done so. It's not that it was more dangerous. It was less comfortable. And it's okay for children to not have every comfort. Tzadikim learn that even if you have that it's okay to be frugal and save money without having every comfort. V'kol kach lama. Now, why was the money of Tzadikim so beloved to them? L'vishen pashni yudayim begesel. Because they don't steal. So whatever they have is hard-earned money. Rav Shor Bar Nachmani Amar, that the reason she chose the Tevas Goma is nothing to do with saving money. It's that it's davarach, sheyachalam b'fnei davarach, b'fnei davar kasha. That if you have something that's a very hard material, so it bangs against one rock, the rock is going to be harder. It will put a crack in it, and that will be the end of it. But if you have something soft, something pliable, so it bangs against the rock, and it will bend a little, and then go right back to what it was. So it was a wise decision to make it a Tevas Gomez so that it will be able to withstand much more. It's like by Makas Barad, the Chumash says that the hard grain was all crushed by the Makas Barad, because if it's hard and it comes across a force that's more powerful than it, so it'll get crushed. But the softer grain just bent and came right back, because when something is soft, even though it comes against a very hard force, it will bend and it'll come go right back. That's the mashal to anivus, that if a person is an anav, then they're not going to get crushed. A person is an anav, so okay, so someone will try to put you down, but that's okay, and then I'll bounce right back. But if a person is not an anav, a person is not willing to bend, and he just insists on standing tall against everything, so he'll be crushed eventually by something bigger than them. And then she lined it with chemer and zephes. So tana chemer mi bifnim. Chemer is a nice smelling thing. That was on the inside. Zephes mi b'chutz, the very bad smelling tar, that was on the outside of the box. So that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have to live with a bad smell inside the box where he was being hidden. So she put the child in there, and she put it by the edge of the river. So Rabbi Elazar Omer Yamsuf. Rabbi Elazar says it was the Yamsuf. So the Marsha says, but according to the Pesukim, the Yamsuf was not a Mitzrayim. The Yamsuf was a ways away from Mitzrayim. So he says it has to be that there were these small bodies of water that shot off the Yamsuf that made their way all the way down to Mitzrayim. And that's what it was. Rosh Shobar Nachmani Amar Agam. It was in a swamp. Kedichsev, Kana Vesuf, like the Pasuk says in Yeshayo, Kana Vesuf Kamelu, that the reeds and the Aravos dried up and fell down. So that's in a swampy area. Vateir Basparu Lirchot Saliyor. So the Basparu goes to bathe by the Yor. Amr Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rishum Menichai, Melamit Shiyorda Lirchot Migilule Aviyah. She went to wash herself clean of the Avodah Zarah of her father's house. Meaning she went to be Megayer. Vechenu Omer. And that's what the Pasuk in Yeshayo says. Imrachatz Hashem is tzoas b'nos tzion, because Hashem washes off the averos of the b'nos tzion. So it's called washing off when one washes off the averos of avodah zara. V'narosel holchos, and Bas Paro doesn't go alone, so she was together with her na'aros. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ena lichazo el lashon misa. When it says that they were holchos, the lashon of halicha often means misa. Where do we find such a thing? V'cheinu Omer. Pasuk says that Esav says to Yaakov Avinu, Hine Anochi Holech Lamos. So you see that Halicha is Lashon Misa, and as we're about to see, these young women that were walking with the Bas Paro were actually walking to their deaths. So if she sees this box in the reeds, when her shvachos saw that she wanted to save the Atzule the Moshe, she wanted to save Moshe, Amrullah, they said to her, Gvirtenu, minhago shalala melech basav dam goz gzeira, the way things normally work, if a melech makes a gzeira, im kolol im kula im miskai minosa, even if nobody else follows it, at least banu b'nei beisam miskai minosa, at least he could rely on his own family to follow his gzeiros. And you're going to go against the gzera that your father made, but Gavriel, the chavatan bekarka. So Gavriel came, the Malach Gavriel came, and he knocked them all into the ground, and they all died. All those people that were discouraging her from taking Moshe Rabbeinu, they all died. So she sent out her ama, and she took the baby. So Rabbi Nechemya, chad amar yada. One opinion says, amasa means her arm, that she stuck out her arm to grab Moshe. And the other says that no, it wasn't her arm, it was her shivcha, that she had a shivcha that had survived, as Gemara is going to soon say, and that's what she had said. The one that says that it was her arm is because the word amasa in Pashup Shat means that it was her arm, and the one that says that it must have been her shivcha is because it doesn't say that it was yada. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yutes, tells us that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, anyone who's Megadol Ben Chaveros ki'ilu yelado, and we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu, because in Divrei Yamim, he's called Ben Bisya. It sounds like because she was the one that raised him. So that's like the Mandi Amar that, that's like the Mandi Amar that she's not the one that saved him, that it was a Shivcha that saved him. But if you assume, like the Yun Yaakov points out, if you assume like the Mandi Amar that she's the one that saved him, she might be called Ben Bisya, he might be called Ben Bisya because she saved his life, not because she raised him. So it's one or the other that made her, either one would be enough to call her the mother of the child. Either that she saved his life, that she was responsible for his very survival, or that she continued to raise him as he grew up. According to the Shita, that it was a shivcha that she had sent. Ha'amr, but we just said, Bagavriel Luchavadan Bakarka, that Gavriel killed all the shvachas that were with her. No, the Shayel Lachada, he left her one, the Lav Orcha, the Bas Malka, Lemekam Luchuda. Because it's not proper dignity for a Bas Melech to be walking alone, so she had to have at least one shivcha that was with her. Aye, but this shivcha might tell. No, she saw what happened to the others. So probably that was enough to scare her straight and to make her conform. So to what Baspara wanted. Ulmandi Amr Yada, according to the Shita that it was Yada, Lichtov Yada, why not just say Yada? Why speak in such a strange term? So Akamashmund, Ishtarve Vishtuve, so Ishtarbuve. It's coming to teach us that her hand stretched out many amos until she reached the box that was very, very far from her. Da Amr Mar, because Rabbi Yirmiyah taught us that when Esther got to Achashverosh, he stuck out his Sharbet HaZahav, which was really only two amos, but it stretched until it reached her. And you find a similar thing with the amasa shalbas paro. And we find the same thing with the teeth of Og Melech HaBashan. Because Pasuk Tehillim says shine risham shibarta. From Reish Lakish, al tikri shibarta ela sheri bavta. That it's not shibarta that they broke, but that they overgrew. Meaning when he picked up a mountain that was three parsaos large, and he lifted it over his head in order to throw it on Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a whole bunch of ants to make a hole in the mountain, and he wore it like a necklace, and then when he wanted to lift it up again over his head in order to throw it, his teeth overgrew into the mountain and he wasn't able to get it off of his head. So that's Sheri Bavta, that also grew at an unnatural way, similar to the Amas of the Basparo, similar to the arm of the Basparo and the Sharbit of Achashverosh. Rav Shachtu often points out that when you have these kinds of things, that Amas, we use this word that doesn't mean anything. It could mean anything. A muscle could mean her maid. It could mean, there's a better word for maid and there's a better word for yad. And the Chumash doesn't use either one of those words. So it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's building into the tradition the both meanings, that Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So Dafka, the word, was chosen to mean both things. Rav Shachtu points out that a lot of times the Mishnayos do that. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi does that sometimes. Right? So what does he say? That you want to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Sibur Yitzvah, just tell me where to start. Tell me what to say. So Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Should you start with Avad Mayinu? You start with Mitchilo of the Avad Zara? They Dafka wanted, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, there were two traditions, so he wanted to use a language that incorporated both of those traditions in the language that he was using. That you find that, he said the classic example, Mi'iri says that Beferish on the first mission of Baba Kama. Shor Bar Mave and Hever. What's Mave? So Mave, it could be Shane, or it could be Adam. Why? Because there are is a farvar from the pasuk somewhere that says something about Mava relating to Adam that no one knows. Well, I never would have associated that. I never would have thought of that pasuk. I never. Just tell me Adam. Tell me Shane. Tell me what it is. So no, the Meiri explains that the Mishnah, there were two traditions of what it was, so he came up with a word that could mean either one of those things. And that's oftentimes how the Mishnayos work, and apparently that's how the Chumash itself works, that Amasa could incorporate both possibilities. Vatiftach v'tir'ehu es ha'yelad. So she opened it up and she saw the yelad. V'tera mi ba'yelay. What's v'tir'ehu? It's v'tir'ehu is if it wouldn't have said es ha'yelad, but it says v'tera es ha'yelad. So it should have just, it should not have been Vater Ehu as a yelad. It should be Vater as a yelad. Some Rabbi Yisrael B'chanina, Sharasa Shechina Yimo, that she saw the Shechina was with this child. Vinei Nar Boche. So she saw the yelad and it was a Nar Boche. So Kari Le Yelad, Kari Le Nar. It calls him a yelad, then it calls him a Nar, which sounds like an older child. So Tana, who yelad V'kolo K'nar Div Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah says, it was a very young child, but when he cried, he sounded like a Nar. Amar Le Rabbi Menachemya, Im Kein, Asis Le Moshe Rabbeinu Bal Mum. He says, well, then you're turning Moshe Rabbeinu into a balmum. That what kind of baby sounds like an 8-year-old? That's not good. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he spoke, was a balmum anyway, but that was later on, and that was a heroic act of taking the coals instead of, right. So that's but at that stage, there was no reason Hashem should have made him a balmum. No, this teaches us. Nar teaches us that his mother made like a mini chupa in the box. Amra Hashem lo ezkal chupaso. She said, said, I might not be zocha to see his chuppah because he's going to be killed. So she built a little chuppah. Apparently, when children die, Rachman al son, before they are ever zocha to a chuppah, there were minhagim about putting hadas and other things that are associated with the chuppah on the aron, that they should make like a mini chuppah for them because their parents are not going to be ma'or tzar, that the parents are never going to be able to see that child's chuppah. And she had mercy on him, and she said, he's from the Yaldei Ivrim. So she knew that he was a Jewish kid. So she saw that he had a bris mila. She had a nevuah without even realizing it. She said, this one is nofel, but no one else was nofel into, is going to be nofel into the Ar, because on that day they were mevatel gzeira. That the Navi calls them a lashon of ganai, that they're only mitzavtzefim, that they're mahagim like birds, that they're just chirping away. They don't even know what they're saying. Even so, tzofin veinim yodim matzofin. They see simanim, but they don't know how to interpret them. Mahagim veinim yodim mahagim. They're motzi kol, but they don't even know what they're saying. So ru'u shemoshiyin shel yisrael b'mayim muloka. Ru'u the chozim b'kochavim. These people who saw in the stars saw that the Moshiach Shal Yisrael would be smitten by the water eventually. So they didn't know what to do, so they decided, okay, let's throw him into the river. Given the Shadu of the Moshe, once they threw Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ar, Amru Sula Avinu Kehu Simana, Sula Chazinu Kehu Simana. We don't see that simon anymore, that he's gonna be Nilka be Ar, because so long as he was Mushlach in the Ar, that's as bad as it gets. So Batal Gzerasayu, so the Mvatal Gzerah, but Vehemen and Yodim, they didn't realize that their original vision was true, but they didn't know how to interpret it. Shal Meimariva Uloka, that his punishment was on account of Meimariva, different water. Vainu Dom Rabbi Chamrachanina, Maidiksiv, Hema Meimariva, Shar Ravu, Hema Sharot, Sagnina Paro, Vitau. Those are the Meimariva that the Sagnina Paro saw, but they were mistaken as the meaning of what they saw. Vainu Dom Moshe, Shesh Meosel Fragli, Amal Moshe Yisol, Beshvili, Nitzaltim Kulchem, that he says, Shesh Meosel El Ragli, Ahamashara, Nochi Bikirbo. So Ragli means Bishvili, that you survived because of me, because I was thrown into the Ar. So they were Mevata the Gzeira, and therefore everybody else was able to be born and was able to survive. Rabbi Chirin Bar Papa Amar, Elsa Yom, the day the Moshe Rabbeinu was saved, Esrim Ve'echad B'Nisan Hayah, very close to a major Davyomi coincidence. How often do we mention dates in the Gemara? 2 days from now. Esrim Ve'echad B'Nisan Hayah was the 21st day of Nisan. Amram Lachay Shoyz Ve'echadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Misha Asad Lomar Shira Alayam B'Yom Zeh, the one who's ultimately going to say Shira on this day, Yilka B'Yom Zeh, is going to be Nilka on this day. Rabbi Yachar Rabbi Chanina Amar, Osa Yom, Shisha B'Sivan Hayah. No, it was the 6th day of Sivan. Amram Lachay Shoyz Ve'echadosh Baruch Hu, the one who's been kabbal Torah from Arsina in this day, Yilka b'yomzeh, he should be struck down in this day. So Bishlam, Rishish b'sivan. If you say that Rishish b'sivan, it makes sense. Mishkach so shoshiyarchi is 3 months after his birth. Damer mar b'shivadar meis b'shivadar nolad Moshe. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu's death and birth were both on the 7th day of Adar. U'mishiva ba'adar ad shish b'sivan tashiyarchi. So it tracks from the 7th day of Adar until the 6th day of Sivan. Is in fact 3 months. El meander b'asam mechad b'nisan heichim shkach sa baravetzesam mechad b'nisan. The Moshe was thrown into the yard. How can the pasuk say that she hid him for 3 months? So also shana mu'uberes haisa. It must be that there was a shana mu'uberes. There was an extra month to play with, and therefore rubo shel mishor was the majority of chodesh Adar from the 7th day of Adar till the end of rubo shel achron, and it was the majority of the last month from the beginning of Nisan until Esrim Ve'echad, Ve'emtzai Shalem, and the middle of the Adar Sheni was a full month. So that's why it's Ki'ilu 3 months, even though it wasn't quite exactly 3 months. So the sister said to the Baspara, should I go call you a Menekes? So Maishna Me Ivrios, why did she offer a Jewish Menekes? That's a strange thing to offer. Milamichik Zrul Moshe Al Kol Mitzrios Kulan V'Lo Yonak, because they tried with all the Mitzri women who were able to nurse, but he wouldn't take. Amar Pesha Sadabri Mashchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the mouth of one day is going to speak with the Shechina, Yinak Davar Tameh is going to nurse the Davar Tameh, Vayinu Duchsivis, Mi Yoredeya, L'mi Yoredeya, L'mi Yavin Shmua, L'gmulei Chal, V'latike Mishadayim, that someone who would not nurse from Mitzrios, and is the one that's going to be Yoredeya, is the one that's ultimately going to lead Klal Yisrael. This is the famous Ramah. The Ramah says that it's better not to give a child to nurse from a non-Jewish woman because of this, because Pesha Sladabra Mashchina. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, or the Grub points out, that it's because of Pesha Sladabra Mashchina. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in the Emes Liakov, there was only one Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else is going to be Medabra Mashchina. So why can't any other baby? So he said, every baby has to be raised as if he's going to be a peh. That she ran like a young lady. That she's called Ha'alma because she was being secretive about it. She didn't tell the Basparo that she was fetching the boy's mother. So the Basparo said, take this baby. That over here too, she was having a nevuah without realizing it. Means ha shalichi. This is actually your child, and it actually was her child. And I'll pay you to nurse the child. Not only did tzaddikim get their aveda back, but they get paid for it. So Yocheved got paid to be able to nurse Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up from Vatikach Mir Mir Nevi'ah Achos Aram.